بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, dear visitors, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. 19 days ago, we began our 30-kilometer marathon. And most of us were out of shape, unfortunately. You know, usually when a marathon runner, athlete takes part in an event, they train very hard for a long time before the event actually starts. But, you know, we're busy people and we have a lot of things going on in our lives. So many of us were out of shape. So we struggled a bit out of the gate. But after a day or two, you know, we found the energy, we got the strength which propelled us to the 10-kilometer mark. Then some of us started running out of gas, and we started getting tired and thirsty. And we stopped, and you know, we relaxed a bit, stopped, got distracted perhaps by some of the distractions along the way. Now we find ourselves entering the last 10 kilometers, right? The last 10 kilometers of this marathon, which is the most crucial part of the race, right? The last part is the most crucial part of the race. And the reason why I refer to it as a race is because we are in a type of race. You know, in our lives, in our daily lives, we compete with one another for a number of things, for various things. So for example, students compete with one another often for their marks, right, to see who can get the highest grade. You compete with one another for competitions, for prizes, you know, for medals at competitions. And you compete with one another at work for promotions, right? So you have an annual review, you have a performance review, you want to make sure you do well, you get a good review so you can get a raise, you can get a bonus, you could get a promotion. And sometimes, even with our friends, I should say, unfortunately, you know, we find ourselves competing for, you know, who's got the bigger house or who's got the better car, right? And these type of things. The nicer phone, right? My friend's got an iPhone, I need to get one too, so on, right? But I mean, which is actually totally pointless, but nonetheless, we end up doing that as well. So we compete for all of these things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the worldly life, or whatever is in this worldly life, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, right? That whatever is in this worldly life is nothing except an enjoyment that is delusional, right? An enjoyment of delusion. So we compete for things, we end up competing for things that are ultimately a type of deception, which don't really have real substance when it comes down to reality. So it's almost like, you know, we end up racing with one another to chase after a mirage, right? And we get there and it's not there anymore, right? Or it's like running after bubbles, right? So kids blow bubbles, right? And you see, oh, I got more bubbles. Oh no, I got more than you. And you try to catch these bubbles. But what happens when you try to catch a bubble? What happens when you try to catch a bubble? It pops, right? You try to catch a bubble and it'll pop. So the moment you reach it, you realize, oh, it's not there anymore. Right? It's not worth anything. It wasn't worth running after. So instead of all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what to race for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us that you shouldn't race with one another, you shouldn't compete with one another. He's telling you you should compete, but here's what to race for. He says in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعْرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So race one with another in hastening towards forgiveness. So if you're going to race, if you're going to compete, what are you going to compete for? Not for things that are only going to be there for a moment or two, and when you try to hold on to them, right, or when you actually think you've achieved something, you realize after a little while that it wasn't really worth anything. No. Race with one another and hastening towards forgiveness. So race for forgiveness from your Lord. And not only that, but race towards Jannah. Right? So compete with one another, race, But not for other things. Do it for forgiveness and do it for paradise, which is the width, or which will be the width whereof, or whose width will be that of the heaven and the earth, right? So this huge garden of bliss, of eternity, where you can find yourself. So that's what you should be reaching for. That's what you should be running towards. And also, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. March forth in the way, you know, march. March forth in the way which leads to forgiveness from your Rabb, from your Lord. And for Jannah, as wide as are the heavens and the earth, prepared for those who are pious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a spirit of, you know, competition, telling us to race, but to race towards forgiveness and to race towards Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also set his companions up for a race of types. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَبَقَ الْمُفَرِّدُونَ, that the Mufarridun have gone ahead. Right, so the companions wondered, who are the Mufarridun? Who are these people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to who have gone ahead of us? So they asked, وَمَا الْمُفَرِّدُونَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So who are these? Who are the Mufarridun? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, أَذَّاكِرُونَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. These are the men and the women who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. So when it comes down to it, right, when it comes down to the things that really matter, it's who can be the first, or among the first, to get Allah's forgiveness, who can be among the first to get into Jannah, who can be the one who is propelled forward with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as we enter these last 10 days, right, the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, just upon us now, and you know, we find ourselves with this golden opportunity, right, with this last part of this race. So let's race with each other towards forgiveness and towards Jannah, right? When a person is in the last part of a sprint of a marathon, right, you don't see the person sort of strolling along, right, looking at the birds. No, right? Everyone's focused. Everyone's focused on reaching the finish line, making sure you make the most out of that time, right? So you don't lose any valuable seconds even, right? Even milliseconds. You guys watch the Olympics, right? The races? Milliseconds matter, right? Milliseconds matter when it comes to the gold medal. When it comes to the silver and the bronze, milliseconds matter. And this should be the state of the believer right now as well. And this time, the value of this time, and the value of how crucial it is, was clear to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he felt that it was so valuable, it was so important, so crucial, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to devote all his physical and mental energy towards taking advantage of this time. Right? All of his physical focus, all of his mental focus would be on taking the best advantage of this time. So in the rest of the month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast, of course, but he would also go about doing his business. You know, he had a very busy life, he wouldn't just slack around, kill time. You know, he'd be dealing with people, dealing with issues, visiting the sick, for example, spending time with his family, with his wives, engaging with them at night, and so on and so forth. But when the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan came, all of that stopped. All of that stopped. Because the last 10 nights of this month were way too valuable. Were way too valuable than to spend on anything else. Anything other than the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't really worth it. Aisha radiallahu anha reports that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يجتهد في رمضان ما لا يجتهد في غيره. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to strive more in worship during Ramadan than he strove in any other time of the year. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to strive, right? Used to strive more in worship during the month of Ramadan than he strove at any other time of the year. And in the last 10 days, he would devote himself. In the last part of the month of Ramadan, he would devote himself more in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than he strove in earlier parts of the month. Right? So the month of Ramadan out of the whole year would be a time of intense worship, an intense, you know, remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when it came to the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, that would be even more intense.
that will be even more intense.
So usually this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do. Okay, so normally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would head for the masjid. Right, the last 10 nights are about to start, he would go to the masjid and he would seclude himself in the masjid. Right, he would put himself in the masjid, not come out of the masjid. His bedding, right, would be taken to the masjid so that he could rest in the masjid, and he would put up a tent. So within the masjid, he would put up a tent to seclude himself, find a place for himself where he would put his bedding. And he wouldn't leave the masjid unless it was absolutely necessary. So unless it was absolutely necessary to leave, you know, for his needs, he wouldn't leave the masjid. And he would arrange to even have his food brought to him. So even when it came to eating, he would eat inside the masjid. He wouldn't want to leave the masjid. So this is the value of milliseconds, right? Somebody can go and have a meal in 5 minutes. It doesn't seem like a big deal. But this time was so valuable, and it was so important, that he wouldn't even leave the masjid for food. The food would be brought to him. Now we know there's a great emphasis in the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on things like visiting the sick. Right, so if somebody is sick within our communities, if we know someone, a Muslim brother or sister who's sick, we should go and visit them, right? See how they're doing, make dua for them, give them support, give them some courage, some strength. So the Prophet ﷺ emphasized this. And he also emphasized following the funeral. Right? So if somebody passes away in our community, right, it is the responsibility of the believers to come and say their prayers and to follow the funeral procession if possible. But when it came, again, to the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't even do that. He wouldn't even do that. So he wouldn't go. He wouldn't leave the masjid for anything practically, right? So not for visiting the sick, not for funerals, nothing else. And if there was anything important that he had to discuss with his family, right? If his wives wanted to ask him something or something needed to be sorted out, then they would come to him and speak to him in the masjid. Now, initially, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started doing this for the entire month in the beginning. Then he started doing it in the middle 10 days of the month. And then he shifted it to the last 10 nights when he found out that the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, is most likely in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. So he started doing this, i'tikaf, the seclusion in the masjid, in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. So the focus was on spending all of his time and energy on the worship and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the main objectives of doing this was to catch this crown jewel of nights. Right? The crown jewel of nights, the most important, the most valuable night of the entire year. And if somebody actually catches it, and somebody actually sincerely remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that night, then you could say the most important night of a person's life as well. Aisha radiallahu anha again says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam يُجَابِرُ فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ وَيَقُولُ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seclude himself during the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, and he would say, تَحَرَّوْ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. That search for Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed out and said, fil witr min al-ashr al-akhir min Ramadan, that seek Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So what is Laylatul Qadr? Right? We hear about Laylatul Qadr. What exactly is Laylatul Qadr? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. Right? That this night, this one night, is better than khayrun. Right? Min alf shahr, not better than just 1 week, or 1 month, or a year, but 1,000 months. So this one night, and this is why it's so valuable, right? This is why there's so much emphasis on this, right? Because this is huge. This is huge. 1,000 months. One night equal to 1,000 months. It's like you're going to work and your boss tells you, you know, if you come work overtime for this one night, right, you're going to get 1,000 months worth of pay. Who wouldn't go? Right? Everyone would do it. Everyone would do it. Maybe if you get double pay, triple pay, perhaps you'll say, okay, you know what, I have better things to do, I'm tired. But if somebody offers you 1,000 months worth of pay, no one's going to die. Don't try to tell me you're going to say, no, I'm too tired, I'm going to go home and go to sleep. You're going to do that. Alright? So this is worth 1,000 months of worship. 83 years. 83 years and 4 months of worship, and more than that, because it's better than that. So this means that good deeds performed on this night, right? The standing in prayer, the giving in charity, the remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reciting the Quran, better than 1,000 months of doing that. Better than 1,000 months of doing that. So this is a tremendous blessing, a tremendous gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know what? Who knows if you'll even live to be 83 years old? I don't know if I'm going to live to be 83 or not. But if I can catch this one night, if I can sincerely worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this one night, then I can get the reward of worshiping for 83 years, which can even be shorter than my lifespan. Alright, so this is a tremendous blessing, a tremendous gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, we are commanded by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to search for it in the last 10 nights. And for those who for some reason can't worship for all the last 10 nights and don't have the energy or don't have the time for some reason, then at the very least, in the last 7 nights. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us. This is that a number of companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam saw dreams, right? Saw dreams that suggested that the Laylatul Qadr was occurring or that it occurs on the last 7 nights of the month of Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I see that your dreams all agree upon the last 7 nights. So whoever seeks it, let him seek in the last 7 nights." So we try to do it in the last 10 nights. If you can't do it in the last 10, then at the very least, in the last 7. Now, there's a lot of curiosity often as to how do we know when Laylatul Qadr is, right? It's not like you're going to wake up and there's going to be a sign outside in the sky that's going to say it's Laylatul Qadr tonight, right? That's not how it works. So people want to know, how do we know that it's actually Laylatul Qadr? Now, the exact date has been hidden. The exact date has been hidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the reasons for this is that, you know, people actually make an effort to worship, right? Actually try to see this night, try to spend more and more time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we all knew that it was on the 27th night, or if we all knew it was on the 25th or 23rd, then we're like, okay, you know, just mark off that date on the calendar, you just go stay in the masjid that night, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you're like, I'm done, right? That's it. But no, it's been hidden so that we work harder and we try as much as possible, especially in the last 10 nights, to worship Allah as much as possible. But there are some signs. There are some signs that have been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, on the morning following Laylatul Qadr, the sun rises, not having any rays, as if it were a brass dish until it rises up. Right? So normally when the sun rises up, right, there's a lot of rays, a lot of sunshine coming out of it, and it's not really possible to see the actual shape of the sun. Right? But on the morning following Laylatul Qadr, the sun rises, not having any rays. So it looks like a brass dish, like a round dish, shiny, that's coming up. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Laylatul Qadr is calm. The night is calm and pleasant, neither hot nor cold, so it's moderate, and the sun arises on its morning being feeble and red. So these are just a couple of, or a few of the signs that we learn from the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we've got to seek out Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights. Right? This is something we've got to do. This is to our loss if we don't. Right? So by worshipping on these nights, we're not doing Allah a favor. Right? We're not doing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a favor. Right? If you're coming to the masjid, you're not doing me a favor. Right? Whatever you're doing is for your own self. So we all individually need to do this for our own benefit. So what does it actually mean to seek out Laylatul Qadr? Like, how do we do it? Right? Is it something to go outside and look for? No. Rather, certain ways, acts of worship that we can do. For example, the night prayer, right? So we've heard, and I've said this before, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with faith, imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, that whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with faith and expectation of great reward from Allah, Allah will forgive his or her minor sins. Then there's also the hadith, man qama Ramadan. So whoever stands in prayer at night in the month of Ramadan, the same thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually giving us different opportunities to get His forgiveness. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us more than one chance. Right? It's not like one strike and you're out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us different opportunities and saying, okay, if you fast with true faith and expectation of reward, you'll have your sins forgiven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also telling us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you stand up for night prayers in the month of Ramadan with faith, with expectation of great reward, you'll have your sins forgiven. Right? And then again, man qama laylatul qadr imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, that whoever stands
during the night of power, during the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, right, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, again, faith and great expectation of reward, then his or her sins will also be forgiven. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us different opportunities. So if a person, after all of these, after these three opportunities, still strikes out and still isn't able to attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's a real loss. That is a real loss. So that's why, you know, you don't want to find ourselves striking out. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all these opportunities. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about all these wonderful opportunities to seek Allah's forgiveness, right? To get Jannah, to get protection from the hellfire, but still, after all of that, we find ourselves with nothing. Right? Like losers. So this is something that we want to avoid. And that's why it's so important to seek out these nights. And when we make our prayers, especially when it comes to these last 10 nights, like, let's try to improve them a bit. Okay, normally, you know, we might have other responsibilities, we need to go to sleep, so on, and you might still have those, but try to find some time. Try to find some time to offer salah in a peaceful manner. Right? Without worrying about, okay, what time is it? Okay, without worrying about, okay, I need to go to sleep, without worrying about, you know, I need to wake up, I need to prepare suhoor or whatever the case may be, right? Actually try to devote your presence to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you stand, try to make it longer. Right? When you recite Quran in your prayer, at night try to make it a bit longer. When you make sujood, when you go into prostration, when you bow down in ruku'ah, try to make those a bit longer as well. So try to make it peaceful, try to make it long without, you know, worrying about the things you normally worry about when you pray. And make dua, right? Make special dua. Think of all the things you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. You've been doing that for the beginning of the month, but for the most part of the month, you especially want to do this and continue doing this. Not only that, but increase it in the last part of the month. You have a number of brothers who are waiting, standing. So if you could just fill in the gaps, inshallah, and make some more room, that would be appreciated. JazakAllah khair. Right, so especially make dua. Think of all the things that you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, things that you worry about, right? Things that you ask others for. Turn to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a special dua that has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha says that she said, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنَ عَلِمْتُ أَيُّ لَيْلَةٍ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ مَا أَقُولُ فِيهَا. That if I find out, right, if I realize that a night is the night of Laylatul Qadr, then what should I supplicate in it? What dua should I make? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُولِي اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ عَفُوًا تُحِبُّ الْعَفُ فَعَفُوا عَنِّي. So you should supplicate and say, Oh Allah, you are most forgiving and you love forgiveness, so forgive me. So this is the dua that has been specifically narrated for Laylatul Qadr. So make a long list of all the things you want to make dua for, ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then ask for them with sincerity. As if you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try it. Try it. If you've never cried before, I said this before too, there's nothing wrong with crying. Okay, when you're making your salah, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they heard, right, when they would hear various verses of the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, they would cry. Okay, so this is something good, something that should be encouraged. When you ask Allah, when you make dua, cry to Allah. Show your weakness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't try to act like you know everything and you can do everything yourself. Right? Be humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry and plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the things that you need. Now, there's an important point, and that is that when the last 10 days of Ramadan would come, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahya al-layl, so he would stay up, he would keep awake at night, wa ayqala ahla, and he would awaken his family, and he would also become more diligent, prepare himself to be more diligent in worship. The important point is waking up the family. So don't keep this valuable time. Right? You understand the value and importance of this time, right? Don't keep it just for yourselves. Don't just be like, okay, I heard the imam saying all this, yes, it's important, I'll do it, mashallah, alhamdulillah, very good. You know, my family is wasting time on the internet, right? Sleeping, watching TV, right? Doing all these other things, while I just do my acts of worship. No, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would encourage his family members. He would wake them up. He would keep them awake at night for this. So, you know, share the spirit. Get everyone in the action, right? Get everyone into it. Your children, your spouse. Don't let them waste their time. Encourage them, you know, to come to the masjid, and also not to waste the time here. Right? It's great to come to the masjid. It's wonderful to come to the masjid. But if you're coming to the masjid to waste time, it's not like you're going to get more reward for wasting time in the masjid. Okay, that's not how it works. Okay, so if you come to the masjid, right, you don't want to be wasting time. You want to be using that time because it's an opportunity, right? And this is especially for... I think I know what the problem is. Okay. Especially for my young friends, right? Boys and girls, mashallah, teenagers. Talking to you guys, yes. You're mature now, right? Islamically, you become adults when you reach puberty. Let's try that. Okay, so Islamically, you're adults, you're responsible for your actions. And even legally, many of you might be, you know, 16, you might be able to drive now, learning how to drive, you might be getting to 18, you feel like you're an adult. Now you want to use this time. Use this time, don't waste it away and find yourself as a loser at the end. Use this time, don't find yourself as a loser at the end. And you compete with one another. You should be competing with one another to do good. Okay? And you want to be setting an example for those who are younger than you. Right? So when the young kids who are here at the masjid see you, right, they say, okay, this is how we should be. Okay, we should be offering our salah. Or if we can't finish, you know, the Tarawih prayers are too long, your legs start hurting, okay, maybe sit down and recite some Quran or read a book, right? As opposed to wasting time. So when the young kids see you, you should be an example for them, not the young kids be an example for you. So you see all the little 5-year-olds running around outside, so you see, okay, you know what? Maybe I should do that too, even though you're 10, 15 years older than them. Come on, that doesn't make sense, right? You guys should be the role models for the younger kids, not the other way around. Okay? So what we want to do is, you want to create a culture of goodness in the masjid, right? Where it's considered cool to remain in prayers. Right? It's not cool to, while the recitation of Quran is going on and salah is being offered, to go outside and chill outside. That's not cool. What's cool is if you stay inside and show your strength and show that you have energy to stand just as your elders are standing. Right? We have people who are retired, who are 60, 70 years old, right, who are standing for all 20 rakat of prayers. Right? So you should be showing and saying, okay, you know what? Yes, I can do that too. As opposed to chickening out and just going outside and chilling. Okay? So you want to create a culture where it's cool to stay, to recite Quran if you can't continue praying. Right? Making dua, reading a book, doing something productive instead of chatting away or playing outside in the hall. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you right now with time and energy and health. Right? Time is there because it's your holidays. Okay? If this was in March or in September, the excuse would be I have school tomorrow. Okay? So you don't have that school, you don't have that excuse right now unless you're going to summer school, but nonetheless. Okay? So you have the time, you have the energy, you have the health. Believe me, a time will come, this time will be gone. Right? You're going to be married, you have kids, you have family, you have work, you have this, you have that, you have health problems. And then you're like, man, you know, I wish I had remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish I had taken advantage of the time, right, of my health and my energy before it was taken away from me. So be an example, be a good example of strength, be a good example of patience, be a good example of forbearance in worship and in doing things that are good. And rather than your parents having to encourage you, or me having to encourage you, rather you should be a source of inspiration for us, right? For me, I should be able to look at you and say, hey, you know, these kids, mashallah, have so much energy and so much devotion that they're here and they're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man, I feel ashamed going home at night. Right? I wish I could do the same as them. Right? So this is the type of example we want to be, where your parents look at you and they think, mashallah, look at my child. I wish I could be like my child. I wish I had the energy and the time that my child has, that they're devoting, he or she is devoting so much time in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the type of example we want to be. It's wonderful to come to masjid. We're very happy to see our youth here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and continue to, you know, grant them health and energy and blessings and goodness and all the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youth from the trials, right, and the tricks of shaitan and all of the evils that exist in this world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them role models not only for younger children but also for those who are older as well. So when we get into this stage, this last 10K race, right, the last part of this race, the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, let's try to focus our energies, let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the energy, the ability, right, to seek His forgiveness. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all that is good. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the winners, not the losers at the end of this month.